Hello.
Hello. Welcome, patrons.
Welcome to Bonjo's Welcome. House of Pain.
No! Why? Ah, stop it! Ah, no, why? Not the brain! Not the brain! Not the brain! Ah! Ah.
That's, vibe,
that's just
it?
The complimentary brain buffing service I give every every patron.
It's like you've got transparent, sort of fleshy, or sort of like gelatinous sort of fingers that go, isn't it, that penetrate through our cranias and sort of give our brains a firm, hard, deep sort of deep tissue massage, isn't it?
Do you know what? I've never heard anyone pluralize the word cranium before.
No, neither have I, and I went for it.
No, but he did it so confidently.
That's the thing I can do.
This is, if you're listening and you're not a middle-aged man, then what you've witnessed is that's what we do. That's how we do it. Is we just do it with confidence. People assume that he's got a decent grasp of Latin and ancient Greek, and he's just worked out from first principles what the plural must be.
Yeah. I deduced it. I backtracked, didn't I? I reverse engineered it historically. Yeah. I basically went all the way back to Archimedes in my brain. Say hi to him. We both had a little walk around Syracuse, where he worked and lived. Yeah. And then I popped back here and popped back.
So crania.
I'm almost certain that's probably wrong, isn't it?
It's nice, though.
It's nice, isn't it?
I don't really like stadia. I think stadiums is a better word.
I actually have an opinion about that. I think stadiums should be the official word. And yeah, I think we're allowed to say that the language has moved on. Even if that's what a centurion might have said 2,000 years ago.
Yeah.
I think we've taken control of it.
Okay.
Whatever Jacob Rees-Mogg has to say about it.
Doesn't look like Henry agrees with us, though.
No, I do. I'm just not sure. But I think plurality, you know, different suffixes for plurality, that is one of the first areas of life that the pedantic prick, wanker, or cock can first get stuck into being a real pedantic div, isn't it? It's around those,
and occasionally there are incidents that will really flush them out. For example, Brexit. You just needed to listen now for someone saying referenda. It was a red flag right there.
Yeah,
but also, Mike, I noticed then you said Brexit. You put a G in, and that was a bit of a 52-48 split, wasn't it, in the UK, where you sort of said Brexit or Brexit.
Yeah. Well, it was a plural.
It depended what you were voting for.
Yeah.
I was voting for oblong eggs.
But also, that goes back to the Reformation, doesn't it? Was when it was decided, well, the country split into people that pronounced the plural of eggs as eggs or as X, isn't it? Things to do with that.
But I've now got that thing where I couldn't honestly tell you whether I say Brexit or Brexit. I think Brexit.
You know what?
Luckily, we'll try and trick him into saying it at some point. A few days. We need a gap of a few days, I think.
On the positive side, literally no one cares. So,
okay. Don't put that string when it comes to our podcast.
Really dangerous.
Very little to care
really
about.
Dangerous.
I think you mean thread, not string, mate. I'm not trying to disembowel the guitar. I don't know what I'm talking about. Welcome to Three Pedantic Turds. The new name for Three Bean Salad. Here's a word.
Turdia.
Turdium. Here's a word I always say wrong, right? Which I find quite embarrassing because I can never work out how to say it.
Okay.
Oh, no. Go on, you say it, because there's a word you don't necessarily say wrong, but you say very distinctively that I enjoy every time you say it.
Oh.
But I'm worried about mentioning it.
You're talking about Wahlberg.
No.
You pronounce that definitively. That's how Mark Wahlberg should be saying it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how they say it in the Wahlberg family home. That's what they say.
You know what? I'm actually thinking of getting a tattoo of Mark Wahlberg riding a narwhal. The word I always get wrong is espresso. I always think it's espresso, which it isn't.
Yeah,
it's espresso.
That's a thicko's move, that is.
It's so embarrassing, that, especially for someone like me. I'm an urban sophisticate that loves Italian coffee. And culture.
Yeah, you should be the sort of person that's shitting all over someone like me for mispronouncing that.
Exactly. Or should you say, mispronouncing it? Actually,
I've got one, but it's very inconsequential.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Can you make a little jingle for three pedantic turds, please?
Yeah. I don't know how you say this word.
Yep, go on.
How do you say the name of a proprietor of a restaurant? Their job is that they are a
restaurateur or restaurateurs.
See, I think that's wrong. But I think
restaurateur.
I think it's restaurateur.
Oh,
I don't think there's an N.
That's interesting.
But I say restaurateur, but I think it's not. This is because recently I've been watching those videos of Marco Pierre White.
Yeah.
And he says restaurateur.
Oh, does he?
Yeah.
But the word so Henry, yeah. Where, picture the scene. You're in an old, you're in an official office building. There are many doors.
Can I say, I'm picturing this better than you two are, by the way. I'm very good at picturing things. I'm glad you gave me this as a little challenge.
Sure.
Yeah.
You need to move down the narrow passageway that communicates, allows these various doors.
You're talking about the corridor. Yeah, you have to walk down the corridor. The corridors of power. Is that what you're talking about? No, what are you talking about?
Carpet tile.
what the fuck are you talking about?
Fire extinguisher.
What? No, sorry, carry on.
Security guard.
You'd be walking down a what, Henry?
A passageway. I'm walking down a passageway. Hang on. Mike, am I eating a yogurt during this?
No.
No, fuck. Well, I don't know what it is then.
You're just literally walking down the...
Road?
No.
Street? Corridor?
The first word you said. Once again?
Corridor. Walking down the corridor.
Interesting. You normally say corridor.
Oh, fuck, do I? Corridor, yeah. Do I?
Which I really enjoy. You say corridor.
Oh, I'm sorry. This is what happens, Mike. You can't catch a butterfly in oven gloves. That is what I am. I flit. I dance in the air. Don't come at me with your big crude oven gloves. You're going to damage my wing. You can't pin me down, mate. I'll say corridor however I want.
You won't dance for my coin.
I'm sorry, I won't.
Once a stranger picked me up on how I said the word, I can't say it. I say silhouette.
Right.
Is that a problem?
Well, no, it's not a problem. You sound like a dickhead, but it's not a problem.
So what is it meant to be?
Silhouette.
I prefer my way.
So how do you say it again?
Do you say silmiette if it's a silhouette of you?
Silmiette, silhouette, 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 silhouette.
That's the grammar.
So you say silhouette. You know who that reminds me of? That reminds me of... Do you know how Alistair Campbell pronounces the surname of the president of Russia?
Oh,
Putin.
Chucks a Y in, doesn't he?
It's Putin.
So I say Putin as well.
I say Putin.
And also, Putin. Do you know the word I hate that I've seen recently?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So how do we get there without me saying what it is? It's a big cat and it's the name of a trainer brand.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, how do you say that?
Puma. Puma. No,
Puma.
No, I say Puma.
I put in the Y.
Pew.
Yeah, but sometimes people say Puma and I hate it and I can't work out why.
But we say Puma the way that Alistair Campbell says Putin.
Yeah.
Yeah, Pew.
But Puma is the American English. Is that because that's also quite for the English pedant, that's quite like they to pretend to be exercised about Americanization is a big thing amongst them.
Yeah. Yeah,
particularly the late Middle Ages and the silver-topped pedant loves that kind of stuff.
It's like a big thing. Yeah, there's a big thing at the moment, which is people getting annoyed that Halloween is an American thing that's an import, but it's not. Mm. It's a kind of British thing, if anything.
Oh, but it went
to America.
But then it came back.
I mean, it came back in an American form. We used to someone told me last week we used to carve turnips and put a face in a turnip,
that's what
we should be doing.
I'm so willing to believe that.
And then do what with it?
Well, just play with it and,
I think you could probably use that for any British festival, couldn't you? Well, of course, back in the day, we used to do that with turnips.
Valentine's Day. Yeah. You would carve a turnip for your loved one.
Ice hockey, you say? Well, that's actually a British one.
That's turnip ball. Apostrophe S is obviously a great area for being a pedantic div.
Yeah,
getting that's very much the starter. That's the sort of the gateway pedantry.
You know what? I noticed one. I mean, I'm not. I don't really give a toss about it. I like to think I don't, but I did notice one today. It's come back to me. I was sitting in an Itsu, and maybe it was yesterday. Mm-hmm. It could be any day because I was sitting in an Itsu.
Which, of course, is supposed to be short for It Is Sue, right?
It should be It Is Sue.
Where's the bloody apostrophe?
Exactly. And, of course, that the origin story is because the whole idea for the restaurant came out, was an argument was between a man and his wife, Sue. He was saying, it is possible for me to say... He was saying, it is possible for me to set up a successful rice and... chicken and salmon, Asian themed restaurant serving sushi, miso soup, hot chicken, cool chicken, not just to Yummy Mummies, but to the work lunch brigade, Pan London, and our sauces will be on sale in supermarkets. People at Henry Packer right now, 14th of 2024, will literally have an Itsu sauce in their fridge. Because I went to get a beer earlier and picked it up and nearly necked it. I've got some old Itsu sauce in my fridge. Anyway, and she went, it's not possible. And he went, it is Sue. And you know what? That's what I'm going to call it. I'm leaving you. It is Sue. They ran it through some sort of post groups. Didn't sound Asian enough. Compressed it down to it. So, and I eat chicken, rice and salmon there a couple of times a week. What are we talking about? What's that about? The H before the W.
That is great. I like it.
That's a lot of fun. What?
Yeah. That's a pedant move, isn't it? You are a pedant if you're saying, oh, what? What on earth? What on earth? Because it's saying you've got time, isn't it? Somehow you're in control of time because you're adding so much more time to saying that word. You would in a
it's
crisis.
Quite an old-fashioned one, isn't it?
Why?
It's similar to really slowing down so that everyone hears you say an hotel.
Oh, yeah. That's a tricky one, isn't it? Anne around. That's a tricky one.
Was.
Is it Anne Hotel? Because H is H a vowel. Oh, God. Welcome to Three Pedantic Turns. We're back.
Anyway, so today, so Bondage House of Pain, for those who haven't listened to one before, is sort of me doing quizzes, making you do quizzes for some reason.
Yeah.
Last time we did one based on a Google quiz that I enjoyed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, because you are very much the Osman de his jours, aren't you?
De his jours?
Yeah. You know, you're not an Osman de nos jours. You're an Osman de his jours. You're an Osman de Osman's jours. I mean, you're an Osman in the time of Osman. Is what I'm saying.
Yeah. I don't understand the French, to be honest. What are you saying?
The English was his. He was throwing in an English his in the middle of some otherwise.
I can't believe we're trying to get away from being pedantic divs and this way we've ended up already.
Yeah.
Let's just move on. Come on.
What would it be? You're the Francophone. What should it be?
If you say... Very good. But if you were... you know, you could say that who's a celebrity that's dead?
Oliver Reed.
You could say that you're an Oliver Reed. He's the Oliver Reed de nos jours. He's the Oliver Reed of today.
I see.
Of our days, de nos jours. He's that of nos jours. Whereas you're the Osman de his jours, because Osman is still. These are the days of Osman, aren't they? This what?
Yeah, yeah. Because since when Queen Elizabeth died,
yeah.
That was the end of the modern Elizabethan era, and we entered
the Osmonian period. Yeah, it was Cretaceous.
We are all Osmonians.
We're Osmonians, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this is the year, 2024 to Osman.
Anyway, so I thought I've come up with another quiz for you guys.
Oh, well done. Well done, Ben.
Now, I can't work out if this is a gross act of IP theft / copyright theft. But I was sent this book. It's called Misc, and the It's made by so there's a magazine called Delayed Gratification.
Oh yeah, I know that. I
didn't magazine that sort of looks back on the past 3 months of news and kind of takes a slightly longer view on it.
Okay.
The editor of that magazine is a fan of Beef and Dairy Network, which is my other podcast. My Owl Fuckers.
Yeah.
Indeed.
That's how I think of it.
Yeah.
And through that, he sent me the book. I don't know if I meant to be sort of tweeting about the book or whatever in return for having it.
Don't know. Probably sounds fun though. Sounds very nice. It's really good.
I'm glad to have it. And I thought what I'll do is it's called MISC.
Yeah.
It's a compendium of delightfully random facts. And what they do quite
MISC then.
MISC. Yeah.
As in miscellaneous. Nice. Right.
Yeah. Lovely.
Okay. And what they do quite well in their magazine is they're really good at taking facts and like data and like visualizing them or turning them into something fun. So
it's a beautiful thing, isn't it? It's a beautiful read.
It's good. And, this book is great, actually. The whole reason for us doing this isn't an ad for this book, but it's a great Christmas present, I think. Anyway, so what I've done is I've taken fun facts from this book, MISC, which is a book of fun facts, and turned it into a bit of a quiz for you guys.
Amazing. Well done.
So here we go.
Let's do it.
Round one. So this round is based on a survey done by Ofcom in 2021.
Okay.
Mike, explain what Ofcom is to non-British listeners.
Broadcast regulator in the UK.
Broadcast regulator. But they've got no sway over podcasting.
Is that right?
Yeah, I don't think Ofcom can do anything. Okay, they can't touch us.
It's the Wild West, isn't it?
It is the Wild West.
It's the bloody Wild West.
Yeah.
And we're three sexy prospectors. <aren't we? laughs> But one of us has killed a man.
And the other two are dying of scurvy.
Panning for banter.
There'll be banter in those hills.
So, in 2021, Ofcom did a survey of members of the public to find out what words they found more or less offensive than others to try and create guidelines around what words should be allowed on TV and radio programs.
Nice.
Okay.
And they categorised the words as strong, moderate, or mild.
Okay.
What I've taken a selection of moderates and milds. And so I'm going to put to you which one is more offensive to the public.
Okay.
Okay, so first up, Mike.
Mm-hmm.
Which is more offensive to the public?
Mm.
Bastard?
Mm-hmm.
Or the specific Scottish term, boar bag? Which is, for people outside of the UK who might not know, it is a...
A bag of boars. To picture two boars, is it? It's how you'd store two boars if you were transporting them across the, across the Highlands, isn't it? You put them in a boar bag because the boars, if they walk around for too long, the calves get too muscly, don't they? Going up and down those hills. And they don't make a nice sausage.
It's true.
You stick them in a boar bag.
There's that, but it's also the Scottish way of saying ball bag, isn't it?
Yeah. Which is the...
I think it's got to be boar bag, especially because like in the home county, say, of England, they're only used to hearing that from quite a strong Glaswegian accent on some gritty drama. Whereas, you know... Bastard is either bastard or it's your Sean Bean classic bastard. Do you know what I mean? That's comforting.
So you think that people in the home counties are more, they're more used to sort of the Sean Bean. Sean Bean has like created a world where bastard is like quite.
They're used to it, and also they feel like Sean Bean is defending the honour of the royal family on the European mainland.
Yeah.
By the way,
If whereas Mike the guy saying boar bag is like he's causing trouble. This guy.
It's sort of Begbie and
he needs to be oppressed. Yeah.
For his own good, actually.
For his own good. And honestly. Sean Bean is doing the oppressing. Yeah.
Yeah.
On our behalf.
Ben, if Mike gets this wrong, can I then have a guess?
Well, tell you what. Why didn't you?
I'm trying to work out if there are little flaws in Ben's game plan because it hasn't been through. This actually hasn't been through Ofcom, has it, this game? It hasn't been tested by.
No.
So the game dynamics, the game physics of the whole game might not actually work.
Well, tell you what, before I give the answer, Henry, what would you guess? This isn't your question, but which would you guess?
Well, no, but that's giving Mike a clue, potentially.
He's already given his answer.
Oh, I see. I'd go the other way. Bastard is more offensive because, you know, it's an offensive term for someone whose parents aren't married, which is, and that you could take offence at that, whereas bollocks don't really mind what you call them. Do you know what I mean?
But you're calling someone some bollocks. You're...
Specifically a scrotum, really, rather than
Yeah, but it's Yeah, but I think it's offensive. I just think I'm right.
Let's see. Okay, yeah. So the answer is that the word bastard was categorized as moderate and ball bag was mild. So Henry was correct.
Really?
Thank you very much.
Well, okay.
So no points for Mike.
Fair play.
Henry's question.
Yep.
So you've got either bugger.
Oh, yes. Very good.
Or tosser.
So who was asked, by the way? Was it Home Counties people?
I think it was probably a representative portion of the UK as a whole.
So bugger or?
Tosser.
Tosser. I think bugger is more offensive.
Okay. Mike, any thoughts?
I would have absolutely gone the other way.
Really?
Henry, you are wrong. Bugger is mild and tosser is moderate.
Bugger off, you tossing great cunt fuck. who's offended more by that? Look up your arse, you fucking dick. Yeah? So it can go both ways, can't it? Really? I'm a bit offended.
See, bugger appears in an episode of Blackadder.
What does bugger?
Tosser, I don't think you'd find in Blackadder.
So is there any explanation behind that? It's just a fact, just a cold fact.
Just cold fact, I'm afraid.
Just cold fact, yeah. No, fine.
Cold fact. I think people are separating themselves from the meaning of bugger. I think it's become...
I suppose in context of bugger off...
A general explicit.
But to me, all of these are nice, quite... Everything we've heard so far, they're all quite nice, cosy swear words that I'd be very happy to hear.
Out of the mouth of a child.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Basically.
Well, I've picked mild and moderates because I felt like we didn't want to be dealing with the harder stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so Mike...
Mm.
For a chance to get your first point, let's choose between arse, just the word arse, and son of a bitch. Which is more offensive?
I think to a United Kingdom audience, I think son of a bitch would feel more stark than arse.
Yeah. Any thoughts, Henry?
I think Mike's right there. Son of a bitch has a real... It's just much more sort of punchy and...
It feels imported as well.
It feels imported.
It feels like someone's been watching the wrong sort of American television program. And we warned you about that.
Yeah.
I know that Ian McShane from Lovejoy's in it, but doesn't mean that it's right for you to watch it. They wouldn't say those words in Lovejoy, would they? So you're right. I mean, son of a bitch to me feels more unusual. Certainly, you very rarely hear it in Britain, I'd say.
Yeah.
Imagine someone saying it to you. It'd just be comical, wouldn't
it? What, son of a bitch?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, if someone shouted that out of their... So they're speeding past you in their Citroen Saxo and shouted it at you on the pavement. It would be, yeah, you'd think they were taking the mic.
Yeah, you would.
Rather than...
It's funny how...
a threat.
Swear words don't... And this might be just not true, but I feel like... But I think, swear words don't really travel, weirdly, from America to the US. Like
from America to the US.
From America
to the UK.
So and back. Because an American saying bollocks is just ridiculous, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah.
But also we don't say...
Yeah, we even had an email about someone using the term bollocking, didn't we? It sounded lovely. She emailed
in and she read it out. Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
She was from Tennessee. I can't remember where she was from, but it sounded...
Yeah, she was from Tennessee, awesome. Yeah. It sounded brilliant. But also, it sounded unusual.
But Americans say things suck all the time, don't they? That is... Every American film, TV series, people are always saying that things suck.
Yes.
And that just doesn't, in the mouth of someone British, that just sounds awful, just doesn't work.
Yeah.
Just hasn't translated across at all.
I don't like it when you hear a British person not use the word ass and instead use ass. Or sometimes they say but, which I'm like, you can't.
Yes, but is...
Don't like it. When I was in LA, I had a brilliant experience, which was I was driving, and obviously you're on the different side of the road. And because of that, it was my first day in LA driving.
Well done for correcting yourself from saying the wrong side of the road there. Good for you.
What did I say?
You started to say the wrong side of the road. yourself.
The different side.
You de-jingoed yourself just in the nick of time until I pointed it out. Pedantry corner.
Obviously, in America, you drive on the freedom side of the road. That's how I see it. Yeah.
We drive on the socialism side of the road.
And so... I was a little bit discombobulated, and I think I was driving and I was a little bit outside of my lane, or, you know, it wasn't terrible. Yeah. And a guy drove past with an open window and shouted, "Stay in your lane, asshole!"
Nice.
And
lovely
I fucking
stuff.
Loved it.
Oh, brilliant. Yeah.
It was like the most American experience I could ever have in my life.
Wonderful. So you must have been beaming back at him. You must have been, I can't get
rid of
that guy.
Would you say that again? I can record it this time, would it?
Please. That was wonderful. Wonderful.
I think I can get my mum on Zoom if we're quick.
I don't know what the time difference is, but it'll be worth waking her up. She won't mind.
And if you could wave a revolver or something, that could be, you know, just if you've got one.
And then shoot a man in a diner and bury him in a perfectly squared off rectangular hole. You could do that as well.
Anyway, Mike, so you saying that son of a bitch is more offensive?
I think to the UK, yeah.
Arse, you are correct. Arse is barely a swear word. Arse.
Yes, you're correct. So arse is mild, son of a bitch is moderate.
Yeah. Great. Yes. Thank you.
Okay, final one in this round.
Arse
for Henry.
Is so much better than ass. Arse.
Arse is such a great word.
It's one of those words like, it technically one syllable, but basically, it's like a never-ending word, isn't it?
Oh, you're gonna really wrap your gob around it, aren't you?
There's so
and you can
much to
you
do
can
with
imbue it.
It
with whatever meaning.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? I mean, you can go anything from sort of Marks and Spencer's Christmas ads, all the way through to kind of, you know, football hooligan kind of threats.
Yeah, that's good.
Arses. Smothered. Caramel smooth.
Because your ass is ours. I don't know what that means, but I'd sign up.
But the word ass for me is like getting into a Shetland jumper. Do you know what I mean? Naked. Naked as the day you were born. Just getting into a little Shetland jumper. Do you know what I mean?
Slightly scratchy.
It's a little bit scratchy.
Yeah.
And also, why are you doing
still
that?
Got the hoofs on? Yeah,
still got the hoofs on. It's that fresh. It's got hoofs attached to it. But arse, lovely. It's so much. It's so warm, isn't it? Because you've got the which is what you say when you see a baby or something nice.
Yeah. Or you get into a warm, a hot bath. Yeah,
yeah.
A bath.
And then just the such a comforting word.
Peters ass, gently ass, peters out. Ass.
Horrible.
Asshole.
Yeah.
So, Henry, Mike's got 1 point. Your chance to get your first point.
Okay.
Which is more offensive to the British public, bint?
Mm. Yeah.
Or bell end?
I haven't heard the first of those in a long time.
I know.
I mean, bint's it's kind of a bit sexist, isn't it? So I guess that's
what... Is it? Yeah, that's what I was wondering. That's why I'm leaning towards bint, maybe because I feel like a sexist. Well, I don't know what it means, but I know it was only ever aimed at women, wasn't it, bint, when it was around? So it's... But the trouble is that bell end is... I still think I'm going to go for bell end though as more offensive because it's so much more sort of visual and evocative of just a rude part of the human body.
Hmm. Yeah. Okay.
That I think. I don't think you can go around saying bell end on television. You just can't.
Hmm. No. Okay. Mike, any thoughts?
I think I would have gone the other way. I think because bell end because it sounds so ludicrous. It sounds more comical, really.
Yes.
Whereas the harshness of the word bint is...
Yeah. Henry gets the points.
Oh, I was very unconfident about that.
Bell end is deemed to be moderately offensive, whereas bint is mildly offensive.
Okay.
Well.
Okay, so that's the end of round one. You've got 1 point each. Okay, round two is just one question that's going to go to you both.
Is it fastest on the buzzers or just shout
no,
out?
No, it's closest to the correct answer wins.
Okay.
So
okay,
maybe you'll both have to write them down or something so you don't, you're not swayed by the other.
Okay.
Okay.
In 2022, there were no new babies born with the name Nigel for the first time.
No
Not
way.
Probably ever, but certainly in recent years.
Yeah.
But which year was peak Nigel? Closest wins. So which year, during the 20th century, had the most Nigels born? I'll let you know that 5,529 Nigels were born in this year.
Okay. So Nigels are completely extinct. There's no more Nigels.
There's no replenishing Nigels coming through. So once the current crop of Nigels die off.
So these are our last Nigels.
These are our last Nigels. We need to make the most of them.
So do go and reach out to a Nigel or sponsor one or isn't it? Just get in touch. Get in touch with a Nigel if you can.
Yeah, sponsor one through 3 Bean Salad, courtesy of OmniBank, and we'll send you a monthly newsletter. Oh,
that's right.
Letting you know how they're getting
on. We'll send you the word Nigel, which I will write in a variety of fonts.
You will be sponsoring the former Formula One world champion Nigel Mansell.
That's right.
And we'll
right.
be getting photographs yeah. of him yeah. throughout the
as
year.
Well as our Nigel breeding programme. Well, we've tried to make with other
Nigel Mansell breed
with
Nigel
Nigella Lawson.
Lawson. Yeah, it's been horrible.
Yeah. yeah.
Okay, I've got a number. I've got a year.
So what year was peak Nigel in the 20th century?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So basically I'm just thinking mathematically Havers is a strong real Nigel.
Yeah. So this is good thinking.
To have picked out whatever year in Havers was born was probably a strong Nigel year because he's called Nigel. What are the chances of someone from that year being called Nigel? You know, if it wasn't a strong Nigel year.
Yeah, this is a good way of thinking of it.
Are you suggesting that lots of other Nigels were born in the same year as that Nigel, or that Nigel inspired peak Nigel?
Oh, I see, yeah.
No, just
are you saying
just that I think
Nigel Havers in his pomp led to a deluge of Nigels?
He might have done, but then he would have become famous in the 60s. That's a good point, actually. I reckon Nigel Havers have, would he have prompted like an increase in Nigels, or would he be?
Yeah, was he evidence of a glass of Nigels?
Nigels.
I'm going to give you 5 seconds.
Also, Nigel was a character in The Young Ones. That's the 80s.
Four,
I think so by the 80s, it was really seen as a funny name,
three,
Nigel.
Two.
So I'm going to go for...
One.
Wait. I'm going to go for 1955.
Okay. Mike?
I went 1949.
Oh, shit.
Henry wins is 1963.
Oh, shit.
It was Swingin' London.
Swingin' London, baby.
It was having a baby called Nigel.
Can I say, that is such good evidence of the fact
it
that...
It was marijuana. It was the sitar. Yeah. It was Nigel.
It was being open to spiritual influences from India.
Yeah, baby, come into my boutique. Oh, yeah.
No, that is, I think that's proof, if it was needed, that the 60s happened to about 15 or 16 people in Notting Hill.
Going to work and having a baby called Nigel.
And everyone else is just bashing out, joylessly boshing out Nigels on dreary, smoke-filled tube train carriages. Yeah.
Someone who actually had to source the oil to make those vinyl records, you understand? There were
exactly.
people driving them around in trucks. And that, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was
so, Henry, Nigels. You have 2 points. Mike
Nigels.
Has one.
Okay.
Okay, round three is based on stats to do with which parts of the country are the most or the least godless or godful.
Mm. Okay.
So... in any given county, there'll be a percentage of people who, on the census, say that they are atheists.
Yeah.
And obviously, there are people who say that they are religious. So I'm going to give you two places in the UK, and you have to tell me which one is more religious than the other.
Okay.
Okay?
Is this between us or one each?
You've seen a chink in my...
Sorry.
Bon Joe's...
Sorry.
...House of Pain armour. I'm not sure what the best way to do this one. I'm going to give it to you one at a time.
Okay.
Okay, Mike, yours first.
Yeah.
Which is the most godless?
Mm.
So we're looking for the most godless, okay?
Yeah.
Bristol
mm-hmm.
or Bolton?
Surely Bristol. Bolton I'm not very familiar with. Bristol I am familiar with.
Does it feel like a godless place to you?
I'm very fond of Bristol, indeed, but I don't feel they're large. Well, there could be people there who would describe themselves as spiritual. There's probably some pagans. There's probably more pagans in Bristol than there are elsewhere.
Can I say, the Bristolian, I don't know if this is fair, but my image of a Bristolian is somebody who wears a sort of hemp kaftan. I don't really even know what that is.
Okay.
They're shuffling around in maybe a pair of Birkenstocks.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They've got quite a few different bracelets from different countries around the world. Yeah. Maybe some tattoos.
And festivals. Yeah.
And festival bracelets, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And you ask them what they do, and they are very, very, very high up in tech.
That person is represented in Bristol. There's lots of other types. But that person is there. But yeah.
That
I'm going to say Bristol. I'm going to risk it. I'm going to say Bristol.
Okay. Henry, there's no points for you here, Henry, but what would you go for?
For the most godless, I probably would have gone for Bristol as well, I think. Yeah,
correct. Bristol is the 8th most godless place in the UK.
Wow.
Is it really?
51.4% of people say they are without religion. Mm-hmm. Whereas in Bolton, only 25.8% of people say they're without religion. It's the 9th most godful place in Britain.
Well, wow.
Interesting.
Henry.
Okay.
Which is more godless, Luton... or Merthyr Tydfil?
Ooh.
Well,
I'm confident.
Luton, of course, is... We don't know this for sure, but 3 or 4 different world religions believe that Luton Airport is the portal to their version of hell, or the underzone, the death palace, the other side, the basement of tears. It's got various different ways that it's represented in different religions. Odin's toilet. But the thing about Merthyr Tydfil...
The multi-story underground car park of eternity.
Of eternity. I don't know anything about Merthyr Tydfil. Merthyr Tydfil for me is a place which exists as a sort of comedy, funny-sounding place in Britain. I literally don't even know where it is. I know nothing about Merthyr Tydfil.
South Wales Valleys.
Oh, is it?
Yeah,
oh,
not far from here.
Is it like a
post-industrial kind of vibe?
Mm.
So it's deprived.
Okay. It sort of sounds like it'd be really twee, Merthyr Tydfil, but it's not, just from the name. It's actually quite hard as nails.
Very hard as nails.
Oh, yeah. Fucking hell.
Yeah.
Been through it.
Has it?
It's a good. It's a good place in its own way, but it's a kind of tough place.
Mm. Okay, yeah.
I mean, personally, I'm not sure that I could look upon Luton and believe there is a god.
That's the thing, isn't it?
I've spent quite a bit of time in Luton.
Have you?
My dad grew up there. Before.
Yes, of course, we have talked about this before. So I'm going to say that I think Merthyr Tydfil will be quite god fearing. And I don't think you can really believe in any sort of divine divine force.
Nonsense.
You live in an airport. Yeah.
Okay.
Nonsense.
So
I think he's quite wrong.
I do.
Yeah, he is. Sorry, Mike. I've jumped in without asking your opinion, but he is quite wrong. Merthyr Tydfil is the 6th most godless place in the UK.
Yeah. Oh wow.
Whereas I reckon Luton's quite high up there.
It's the 2nd most divine place in the UK.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's the 2nd most.
Yeah,
but maybe it's because if there's Luton Airport, you know there's a hell. So if there's a hell, there has to be a god. Yeah, you can deduce it that way.
Is obviously your dad's Polish?
There was a big. There certainly was a decent sized Polish combination. There was also where they grew up. There was a very big Irish and of Irish descent population when he grew up. Yeah. I don't know what it's like now. But churches and mosques everywhere.
What's the most goddy? Is it Canterbury or something?
No, the most divine place in the UK is Slough.
Is it really?
With only 13% of people saying they don't believe in a religion.
Slough's got a massive Sikh population, doesn't it?
There you go.
That could be that. Yeah.
And the most godless place is Caerphilly in South Wales.
Lovely stuff. And I assume there are places like sort of Wells that probably has like sort of got a really good. Really good C of E attendance. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, absolutely. Yes. But maybe on a county level, the rest of Somerset is just a kind of pagan fire pit.
Yeah.
The other thing in London, of course, is that, you know, Londoners, we believe in the work of the National Theatre. That's what we collectively believe in.
Okay, round 4. This one's going to be an annoying round.
Okay.
This is based on sayings about the weather. Okay.
Okay.
So you know sayings such as red sky at night, shepherd's delight, for example. Uh-huh. That's a well-known one.
Yeah.
I'm going to read you the first line of some sayings about the weather, and you need to write the second line. And I'll give you a point if you're kind of right from a weather perspective. What kind of weather is referenced? Okay.
Okay.
So, Mike first.
Mm-hmm.
Hawks flying high means a clear sky. But when they fly low, dot, dot, dot.
When they fly low.
Hawks flying high means a clear sky. Yeah. When they fly low,
your need for a jumper will grow. That's a tricky one.
Upon your driveway will snow.
Oh, very good.
That's excellent. I'm not going to give you the point because it is, when they fly low, prepare for a blow.
Ooh.
So it's about wind. So because you didn't reference wind there.
Can I say, bearing in mind the accuracy of most weather forecasts, it feels like this technology was actually more sophisticated than what the current meteorological bods are using.
Woo! Take that, Michael Fish.
Take that. Take that, Ian McGaskill and various other 80s weather people.
Okay, Henry.
Yeah?
If this is hard.
Okay.
If ants, their walls do frequently build...
Badly scanned. I mean, just badly... syntactically bad. Yeah, but anyway, yeah.
That's it.
Ants what?
If ants, their walls do frequently build...
That's it?
Yeah. If ants, their walls do frequently build...
Then put on a tank top or you'll be killed.
And what weather is that in reference to?
That's torso frosts.
So I'm not giving you a point there.
If ants their walls do frequently build,
yeah, you've given your answer. There's no point here for you, Henry.
Then your top pockets with hail shall be filled.
Oh, very nice.
That's good.
Yeah.
What is it?
Rain will from the clouds be spilled.
Mm.
If ants do frequently, their walls do build.
I can see why this one didn't catch on.
Yeah.
Mm. Also, I've never seen ants. I didn't think
preparing for rain.
Are you saying you've never noticed the frequency, the changing frequency with which a group of ants builds their walls?
They didn't build walls in Britain. I think you only ever really see ants on holiday, didn't you? I can't remember ever seeing British ants.
What are you talking about? My house is absolutely deluged with ants.
Is it?
Yeah. It's ants on the inside, seagull turds on the outside.
It's
almost made of ants, isn't it, your home? Everything's just a kind of pulsating...
They see me now as their queen.
Uh-huh.
Mike, here's one for you.
Okay.
This is about onion skins.
Okay.
Onion skins very thin, mild winter coming in. Onion skins thick and tough. Dot, dot, dot. So that's onion skins very thin, mild winter coming in.
Mild?
Onion skins thick and tough.
Get thee a leather muff.
What, get to a bondage party? That'll get you through the winter months.
Yeah. Well, they're usually indoors, aren't they? And typically well heated.
So
it's true, because there are specific kinds of pain, isn't it, people want at a bondage party. It's not about being, it's really chilly out here.
Ooh, bloody hell, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I know it is. Oh.
I'm going to put my hoodie on. No one wants you to put your hoodie on.
No, because you're a masochist, so I don't put it on. No, that's what I meant, put it on, because I'm not I get confused. What?
So, Mike, in order for me to work out if I'm giving any points, what kind of weather are you referencing when you're saying someone should get a leather muff?
I'm suggesting that I'm thinking ice spicules.
Okay, I'm going to give you a point. Here is the finished rhyme. Onion skin's very thin, mild winter coming in. Onion skin's thick and tough, coming winter, cold and rough.
Mm.
So yes. I think you nailed that.
Also, lovely. These are absolute bollocks, though, these phrases, aren't they?
On what basis are you saying that, Henry? When have you ever inspected the onion skins of an onion harvest?
Well, one. And compared it with the impending winter conditions.
Well, so winter always comes at winter.
Where is your data? Where are your bar charts? Because mine are right here.
Winter always comes during winter. I mean, it's fine, yeah. Winter, it comes
in. We're saying that you could have a mild winter or you could have a cold and rough winter in which you need to buy a leather muff.
Onion skins. Okay. Fine.
Yeah. Okay, this is your chance for a point, Henry.
Yeah.
Similar in some ways to your previous one. When bees to distance wing their flight, days.
Why does this person not say sentences in the right order? It's the first rule of being a poet, is you disguise the fact that you're having to say things in a weird order.
They're using a Walloonish French word order.
Okay, yeah, exactly. It's not working.
When bees to distance wing their flight, days are warm and skies are bright. But when their flight ends near their home...
there'll be a tornado coming upon Frome.
Very good. Okay, any thoughts, Mike, before I talk about points?
The Alsatian of floods shall have its bone.
Oh, my God.
I like it. I'm giving a point to Henry because the answer is this. When bees to distance wing their flight, days are warm and skies are bright. But when their flight ends near their home, stormy weather is sure to come.
Comb.
But I think saying, you said a hurricane or a tornado, that feels like stormy weather to me.
Yeah, so okay, thank you.
I'm giving you a point.
Thanks, mate.
Okay.
I'll take that.
Incredibly, there's more to come. Okay, round five.
Okay, lovely.
There's also I'm going to pre-defend Henry from a bollock. Obviously, we started with pedantry, pronunciation, and mispronunciation. Henry knows perfectly well
it's
that
Frome
is pronounced Frome.
I knew
he was
that.
Merely was trying to help the poet out.
Exactly,
the incompetent poet. It's not Henry's fault.
And I know that a lot of people these days listen to the podcast by using audio AI devices that print that turn it into text. So I wanted to not make sure I didn't mislead the AI
exactly
auto text,
which is still learning from us.
Learning. It's still in the learning phase. Yeah,
yeah. Thank you.
Okay, round five is about airports named after famous people. For example,
nice.
JFK is New York.
Don't spoff your examples. Defining the round, mate. Keep your powder dry.
Yeah, but those two are
You've
too easy.
You've thrown a perfectly good question.
Everyone knows
Henry,
those.
If this is going to become a mainstream hit, clarity is key.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, true. So what was the other one? What was the other example you used?
Charles de Gaulle.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So I'm going to give you some celebrities. You have to tell me where the airport is. Mike goes first.
Okay.
George Best.
Oh, wasn't he Irish? But is it Liverpool?
Him squirm.
No, hang on, that's John Lennon.
Enjoy the show, everybody. Mike Wozniak.
Isn't Belfast.
Hotter and more uncomfortable than a pasty on a shelf in a corner shop that's under the lights. Isn't he? Yeah.
Belfast.
Correct.
Yes.
Well done. I would have said Manchester. Well done.
Henry, Louis Armstrong.
Yes. Which one?
The famous trumpeter and jazz singer.
Okay. I was getting mixed up because there isn't.
You're thinking of the astronaut's late brother.
No, I was thinking of the uncle of the cheating cyclist. Okay, no, there isn't anyone, isn't there? So it wasn't a trick question. Reverse touche. Bluff me, bluff you. Yeah, you can't win at this game against me. It's a kaleidoscope. Looking back at you, looking at your reflection, but it's upside down. Yeah, exactly. Who wins, who loses? Someone else decides. Goodbye. Hello. Could carry on. Sorry,
okay, if you've quite finished dismantling our minds,
sorry.
Please answer which airport is named after Louis Armstrong, or which city has an airport named after
Louis Armstrong? I was going to say Louis Armstrong Airport. I can't Google it, can I? You've not said we can't Google it.
Oh, Osman would have said that.
Osman would have opened with that.
He would have made it perfectly clear.
He'd have called the game No Googloids. It's No Googling Thursday. Hi, I'm Richard Osman. I'm going to go for New Orleans. Oh, God.
Correct.
Hey!
Lovely stuff.
Woo! Lovely stuff. Wow, that's good. Okay, Mike. Ooh. Mother Teresa.
You want a city?
City, please. Yeah.
Calcutta.
No, I can see why you'd go there.
Unlucky.
It is, in fact, Tirana in Albania.
Is it?
Oh, that is a tough one.
She was Albanian. So
was she?
Yeah.
I forgot that.
But Calcutta makes sense, obviously. Okay, Henry.
Yeah.
Leonardo da Vinci.
Very good. He was also Albanian. Tirana, not really. Tirana's second airport. Where was he? Where was he in it? Oh, hang on. He's
from Fort Bragg, North Carolina. Right.
No, he's from Vinci. If we've learned anything from this podcast, he's from Vinci, right?
He is from Vinci.
Because Mike, because was it
our friend Carl Chappell, the artist?
He pointed it out about.
Well, you were saying you were describing him as Da Vinci,
Mr. Da Vinci. Oh, yes,
he's from Vinci.
Yeah.
I'm going for Florence.
Incorrect. It is Rome.
Oh, best sticks.
Yeah, fair dues.
Okay, I've lost track of the points, but let's move on to the next round. This is quite a hard one, I think, but I'm going to go for it. This is based on different artists, musical artists, and which song they've played live the most in their career.
Ooh, lovely.
Oh, that's quite cool.
So, Mike, I'll come to you first. Which is the song that was played the most by the Beatles in their career?
Oh, this is good.
This is, I think this is all pretty hard, but... Talk us through your thinking.
I'm thinking it might be one of the early ones.
Mm-hmm.
That they might have... Because it was there early on, right? And they might have still... Even when they were getting a bit more experimental, they might have slipped in a... chunky one. And also in their early days, they were gigging relentlessly. You know? So I'm going to go for Twist and Shout.
Correct!
Oh. Fuck off. This is a fix. I'm not playing anymore. It's not actually fun anymore. So thanks, everyone. It's supposed to be fun. By the way, I don't think it should count if it's a lucky guess. What's the point? It's not called Lucky Guess Game, is it? He doesn't know it. He didn't know it. Anyone can do a lucky guess. He didn't know it.
Henry, to what extent...
I don't care if we're ruining Christmas. I don't even fucking believe in God.
Henry, to what extent was New Orleans a lucky guess?
I said it using the intonation of a lucky guess to try and resuscitate this, frankly, moribund quiz format.
But you've travelled time and time and again from New Orleans, Louis Armstrong before.
It's where you get all your chinos.
It's where I get my chinos.
The juicy free.
They've got the perfect chinos because the air conditioning slightly shrinks them.
Got pictures of little trombones on the knees.
And the humidity from the bayou.
They're the only chinos I can get my pelvis
in. The bayou crotch-tested chinos.
Crotch-tested.
Nothing else can handle
They've
that
got a
swamp,
live alligator
baby.
In the shop that attacks you on the way out to test if they're working.
Okay, well done, Mike. That was a great answer. I was well really done, sure that I saw that was so hard, but you got it. They played it 382 times.
I never would have said Twist and Shout.
Because it's such a mega crowd pleaser, right?
That's it.
Yeah.
Okay. Not one of their best songs, I'd say.
No, it's not one of their songs.
It's getting the kids
screaming. It's not even one of their songs.
It's getting the kids screaming, isn't it?
It's a cover.
Okay, Henry.
Oh, God.
This one's for you. Taylor Swift. Now, I know you're a Swiftie, that's why I gave you this one.
What song has she played the most?
Yeah, in her live career.
It is... let's see. I'm just going to go straight in and say Shake It Off.
Incorrect.
Oh, fuck. But it was a guess like Mike's was a guess, so what difference does it make? We both did a guess.
Oh, no. Is it?
We both did a guess, we both got a guess point.
What was he thinking?
Well, just that's her most famous song, isn't it? Shake It Off.
Yeah, so I think you're right. That's her biggest song.
But she's been around. She's done songs from earlier that she's done more times because she's been around longer.
So I don't actually know the song, but I think it's earlier than Take It Off. So she's been around longer
Shake
to play it.
Is it? Hang on. What else? I don't know.
I think this might be maybe her first album, even. Although I'm not a big Swift person.
So. What is it?
It's Love Story.
Oh, yeah.
Does that mean anything to you?
Yes, I do know. That's a really good
one,
song.
Yeah.
It features in an episode of The Bear.
Okay.
Yeah.
She's played that 549 times.
For fuck's sake.
Okay. Mike. Elton John.
It's got to be... why has the title escaped my brain?
Mike, can you... Wait a second. I don't want to... Can you just move your camera and show so you haven't had an angulous face operated
Bernie Taupin.
Bernie Taupin installed in the wall next to you. Why is it Mike always looks up and to the right?
He does always look up.
He looks up and to the right, which I think is where you look when you're lying.
When I'm lying or where?
or when you're cheating.
I'll show you where I'm getting my information from.
Let's see what you're looking at.
He's got an...
I'll show you.
Oh.
My information.
From this guy.
The heron of knowledge. He's got a Japanese print of a heron, the cheating bastard.
It's a painting of an egret.
I think it would be Rocket Man.
Any thoughts, Henry?
An early one, and again, it's like a, it's a sing-along.
You know, I once saw Elton John live.
Did you? Was it good? I'd love to have seen
it. It was donkeys years ago. It was at Wembley Arena. It was really good. And it was great. I also saw that year, I saw Bros. Just to give you an idea of when it was. It's a hell of a long time ago. That is the 80s. Wow. So what was the...
what's Elton John's most played
song? What did Mike say?
I said Rocket Man, because again, it's like an early one. It's one of the mega hits, and it's going to be like, you're going to get everyone in Wembley singing along.
It makes sense that it would be, the one I'm going to say, I don't know why I'm saying it, but for some reason I'm going to, of course the Diana one. That's the one people shout out for, isn't it? Give us the Diana one. That's the one that gets requested, isn't it?
Candle in the Wind.
Yeah, when he's at a, just when he's in the local carvery or whatever, people will get him to pull out his...
But dedicated to the late great aunt, because he can do that. He can...
Yes. For some reason, I don't know why, I'm just going to go for I'm Still Standing.
No, okay. So, Mike, your way of thinking was good, but you needed to go for an even earlier song. Really? It's his first ever hit.
Tiny
your
Dancer.
Song. Your song.
Your song. Oh, great.
Which I think was his first ever hit, right? I think it was... Maybe great I'm
song.
Wrong.
You know what's so great about that song is... It actually is the song. I know, Mike's never won. That's the face.
What?
That's the face. That's the face people put when they first find out. That's real. You can't fake that. You can't fake that face when they first work it out.
So hang on. When he wrote the words, "This gift is my song and this song is for you," he was thinking of Mike Wozniak.
He was thinking of Mike Wozniak. Exactly.
Yeah, he's played your song 2,458 times.
Fair play to him.
Can I say, Bernie Taupin, when he was bashing out that lyric, he must have been like, fucking hell, this is brilliant. This is the first song that is the... It is the song is the song. Like, no one's ever... Fuck, we need to get this out now.
He was shit-faced, wasn't he? He was three weeks to the wind.
Off his face. It was the 70s. He was on a cocktail.
It's about the song, but the song is the song.
Just listen, Maureen. It's brilliant.
Listen,
Maureen. Maureen.
Anyway, it's a great song, and he's played it 2,458 times.
It's a wonderful song.
Henry.
Yeah.
Rihanna.
Where do I begin? Well, it's going to be early, Rihanna. What? I'm going to go.
This is the most bum of these questions. I think this Rihanna one feels bum.
I don't know why. I'm going to go for Umbrella.
It is Umbrella.
Come to Papa.
Yes.
That was just a vibe.
511 times. Mike. Michael Jackson.
Ooh. I'm going to go for Man in the Mirror.
That's an absolutely mad choice, Mike. Sorry, that is wrong, but also a mad choice.
I don't care. I'm sticking with it. I think it's right.
Even though the quiz master himself.
Isn't that 90s Jackson?
Yeah, I think, yeah.
No, it's maybe 80s.
I think it's time for an unexpected answer.
You're so wrong.
Man in the Mirror.
Sorry, so wrong. Henry, any thoughts?
Beat It.
Billie Jean.
Yeah,
286 times. Final question on this round, Henry. Madonna.
Oh, good.
And I'm going to say this one's hard.
Is it?
Yeah.
It's not. It's an obscure song, or it's just not one you'd expect.
I wouldn't call it obscure, but I certainly wouldn't have thought of this first. But then maybe we've all got different brains, so who knows? But it was a big song.
I'm wondering if it might be. Like a Virgin.
Papa Don't Preach.
Incorrect.
Mike, what was yours?
Papa Don't Preach.
Incorrect.
Holiday.
Great song.
Is it really?
Holiday.
But it's also the least good song on the Immaculate Collection.
Is it?
Yeah, I mean, is it at least...
I think it's a good song.
It's a good song, don't get me wrong, but compared to... It's... When
but
it's
I think that
cast the, against the others on that collection. You know.
I think that this is entirely down to it being an early song.
Yeah.
So she would have played it a lot in live shows early on. I think it might be her first hit, is it?
Maybe.
Because I was thinking, is it pre Like a Virgin?
I think so, yeah.
Like a Virgin was the first CD that I ever bought.
Was
I
it?
Went to buy it, it with my dad in our price or our
yeah,
price?
Yeah. Ooh.
Our price?
There we are again.
Dewey Mellon.
Dewey Mellon. I went to buy it with my dad in our price on Upper Street in Islington, and I was just incredibly embarrassed around the word virgin, which I didn't really understand, but I knew it was something to
do. Did you buy the single?
Sex. Yeah, I think it was a CD single, I think. Unless the album was called Like a Virgin.
My first CD was also from our price, but in Fareham.
Oh, yeah.
It was a collection, an anthology collection called Ragga Heat, Reggae Beat. including such acts as Chacadimus and Plies.
Oh, that's amazing.
Was that an album then?
Yeah, it was an album full of the hottest reggae hits of the day. Yeah.
Wow. Would that have included like London reggae?
I don't think so.
Eddie Grant.
But basically, the reason I bring it up is I grew up on the street that Eddie Grant lived on. Eddie Grant lived on my street when I was growing
Electric
up.
Avenue.
Electric Avenue was the street he wrote a song about, but he didn't live there.
That's in Brixton, right?
Yeah.
It is Brixton. Yeah,
the first one of the first streets to have.
I can't remember if that was on it. It could have been because there were some older ones on it for sure.
Wow. What about singles? What was your first single? Do you remember that?
I know that technically the first single what was on vinyl, and that was the Frog Chorus.
Oh wow, great!
And the only other single I owned on vinyl was the Spitting Image Chicken song.
The Chicken song, yeah. Put a Dexter up your nose, something. Yeah, great stuff.
Nice South African as the B side.
It did, which I wasn't allowed to listen to.
Yeah,
I did a sneakily listen to it.
I think a very early CD I got. It was Like a Virgin, and the other one was Van Halen, Jump.
Oh, wow. Great.
Actually, was it Jump? Or no, it wasn't Jump. It was the other. What was the other song they did?
Good question.
Why can't this be love? Do you know that song? Yeah, Why Can't This Be Love by Van Halen.
Oh.
It's a really good song. Do you not know it?
No. My first single, I think, was the Macarena on cassette.
Great.
Good.
Yeah.
You know I was doing the Macarena dance the other day during a spinning class.
How do you do that on a spinner?
That's how I am. That's the life I live. Most of the spinning classes I do is just straight cycling, but sometimes there's a class where it's like dancing and stuff, and you have to do... So we were cycling with our legs, and then we were doing all that. You know, there's different hand motions, aren't there, Ben? Do you know them?
Yeah, of course.
Dip, 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 dip. You put your arms across and living my best life. Yeah.
Love it.
Okay, nice.
God, that really does make me think that you're a darling young thing, aren't you? Old before your time.
I'm impressed you had a CD player when those songs came out, to be honest.
Fuck you.
Okay.
Final
round.
It was an old mechanical pigeon that we put coals up its arse and did some bellows, and it just breathed out, the west wind came through it with the ley lines and fucking Stonehenge. Yeah, thanks, mate. Yeah.
And of course it was on Wax Cylinder, wasn't it?
It was on Wax Cylinder, yeah. Yeah. We just dropped pebbles on an owl and hope it made a sound that sounded a bit like Van Halen. Yeah, that was the technology level we were at the time. But you see, it's all back in. Vinyl, you know what? Vinyl's actually back in. No, Thursday's the new Friday. But I think CD's back
Apparently
in.
CD's are back in. And me and my partner never got rid of our CDs.
We've talked about this before. It's one of my greatest regrets.
Yeah. I got rid of.
I was convinced by a friend to put it all on like a hard drive that since has destroyed and
yes.
give them away. And I just regret it deeply.
Now we've got a nice CD rack in the living room, and it's quite good. Yeah.
Yeah. So have you kept them out all that time, or have you sort of had them hidden away and then brought them out?
No, we sort of when we moved into this house, we bought a CD rack and went right. We're going to put the CDs out. And actually, it's good, but they're mainly hers. Because she had more than I did, and they're mainly Britpop, so it's of an era, you know. It's yeah, all yeah. very long pigsy and okay, kind yeah. of suede, and yeah. it's good stuff. But it's definitely all of an era. Yeah,
I've got a Long Pigs vinyl.
Oh, nice!
Present. It's lovely, beautiful blue thing.
Oh, nice!
It's wonderful.
So I'm thinking about getting a record player and getting into the whole vinyl thing. And I also, my parents have got a pile of decent vinyl. That I used to listen to when I was a kid.
Well, that's it. That's there you go.
Yeah, to get started. But I've got a feeling, I sort of know, I think deep in my soul, that it's one of those things that I will use about 3 times.
Yeah.
Just because of the convenience factor. But I still won't stop me doing it necessarily. But do you find you actually use...
I use ours all the time.
Do you use the vinyl?
Every day, yeah.
Really?
So, every day.
And you don't mind flipping it? You don't have to flip it halfway through?
I quite like it because I find I engage with it a bit more.
Okay.
But that sounds
like what you're saying is what I...
But what I haven't done is... the thing I dread is I haven't gone to the... There are people who, like, they're really into the hi-fi tech. Do you know what I mean? I can't handle that.
But
and my ears aren't good enough to tell the difference if the... Do you know what I mean?
But all that stuff was part of it back in the day.
Yeah,
So back in the day, there were, like... There was that shop, Richer Sounds. Does that still exist?
Yeah, there is one in Exeter.
Okay,
yeah.
But I guess they're back in, they're doing well again, I imagine. But there was a whole scene of like, just quite blokey, quite often, of just knowing all about woofers and whatever.
Yeah,
just like,
and buying a gold cable that cost £80.
All that kind of shit.
See, I'm the sort of dickhead that just would buy a thing. I'm not the guy they want who is buying a separate preamp and a separate turntable that he's attaching to a separate set of speakers, and the left speaker is different to the right speaker. That's what they want.
Even the concept of an amp, I never really understood. Why can't you just have a CD player? Why was this amp thing?
Henry, you need to stay away from Richard Sounds, Henry.
But I tell you what, I did.
They'll beat you up.
But I was in East London the other day wandering around a vinyl shop. And they had, they were playing vinyl, obviously, in there, all these big old speakers. And I've got to say, it did have a lovely warm sound, a warm, rich sound. I just imagined a vinyl of someone just saying the word, arse.
Lovely.
On lovely, deep, rich.
Shoot, with
we
a little
could
bit
release
of
that. We could
maybe
release
a slightly aged arse. Vinyl, so there's a little bit of scratchiness.
Tiny crackly arse.
Crackling.
Because it is a funny peculiarity of what happened with technology, which is, there was that phase, then that went away, and then everything was just phones and like a Sonos or whatever.
Yeah.
You play it through your or just through your laptop, and like everyone forgot about caring about speakers and stuff.
Yeah.
But it's kind of come back, hasn't it?
Right, final round.
Okay.
And I sort of run out of time, so there's only two questions.
It's neck and neck probably the scores, isn't it?
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean
it could be.
It could be that it's quite tense now. If it is close, but it might not be.
Okay, give me 30 seconds to go through the questions and work out what the scores are. So I think it's 2-1.
2-1.
Oh, fuck.
2-all.
Just make something up. Doesn't matter.
2-all.
Never see Osman doing this.
2-all.
That's why you need a team.
3-all.
You need a team.
Benjamin. There's no such thing as a game show auteur.
Osman is not just one Osman. He's Osmen. Several Osmen and women.
He's Osmenkind.
He's Osmenkind. There's Osmeny.
Hang on. 6-5, 6-6. I think you are drawing. I think it's 6-all.
Nice. Brilliant.
There's 2 questions. We're going to have 1 each.
Okay,
this is based on, similar to before with the language one, it's not Ofcom, but it's a kind of a survey of the British public about what things they like to do or not like to do. Okay?
Okay.
So people are asked, like, do you like doing this? Do you like doing that? And then they got a picture of the UK public. So, Mike, this is the first one.
Okay.
Do more people refuse to drink water from the bathroom tap?
Hmm.
So there's a number of people who are refused to drink water from the bathroom tap.
Yeah.
There's that.
That's a good question. Is that because there's a sense that it's different water from the kitchen?
So I'm one of these people.
Yeah. What is it?
It's because it's near where you shit, isn't it?
Is that why? Because I don't really care about that.
I'm more in tune with my evolutionary background. You know,
yeah.
When I was living in a cave,
yes,
I wouldn't have shat in my water supply, whereas you would have been shitting in it.
Yeah. But I'd have been known as a more cool beaver than you. And actually, because of that, I would have had a stronger security, I would have had stronger sort of social networks around me.
Yeah.
So that when the gibbons inevitably came through ransacking our valley, I'd be more likely to be able to sort of survive.
And Mike could have just been hovering above us both.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
As a kestrel.
Out of built, yeah, as sort a of pulley system, kind of floating hammock nest.
Yeah.
In a cedar tree. Yeah. I just watched it all happen.
Okay, so there's a certain number of people who don't want to drink water from the bathroom tap.
Yes.
There's also a certain number of people who are confident that they could land a passenger airline in an emergency.
Oh, wow. Oh,
wow. So which is a bigger percentage of the UK population?
I mean, the answer should be that people are quite happy to drink water out of the bathroom tap because it's absolutely fine.
Yeah.
And the answer should be that everyone should know that they can't land an airliner. But I've got a horrible feeling that in the UK of all places, I think there are more people who reckon that they'd give it a bloody go, and I'd probably go all right, actually.
It's the same principles as a car. It's the same principles as a car. It's just a three-dimensional car.
It's just... You should see the way I can reverse park in my mother-in-law's carport in Northampton. If I can get that in, then I can. I've just got. Is it a spatial awareness thing?
There's nothing special about these people, Barbara. Honestly, I think would be difficult. But different story is one of those pilots tried to be. You know, an assistant HR manager in a mid-sized accountancy firm. Let's see. I think then you'd see a real disaster. Yeah.
Okay, so Mike, 26% of people think that they could land a passenger airline in an emergency.
Wow. But what percentage of people are pilots?
Good question.
Yes. Yeah.
I'd imagine less than 1%.
A thousandth of that. Tops.
So you think there's more of those, but unfortunately there are 29% of people who refuse to drink water from the bathroom tap.
Wow. So fair play. I'll take that as well. But 26%, I mean, that is far, far, far too high.
It's mad.
I mean, that is absolutely mad.
I think some of them will be saying, oh, it's all autopilot though, Barbara. Honestly. It's actually harder to drive a bus. And yet they waltz up and down the airport and you rubberneck, don't you, and turn your head and go, oh,
funny little, these funny just little hats on.
Little stupid hats.
And you make me one of those, wear those bloody hats on a Wednesday night, don't you, Barbara?
Yeah.
I'm sick of it.
Sick of it.
Okay, so Henry, if you get this right, you'll win today's Ponderous House of Pain. If you don't get it right, you'll be drawing with Mike. And there's no tiebreaker.
Oh, that's an interesting way of guaranteeing quite a flat ending to it.
I'm sure I can find one.
That written into the constitution of the quiz. And proudly announcing it. As if it isn't just a massive oversight in the planning for the quiz. Which is what it is. Okay.
Okay.
So if I don't get this right, the stakes are quite high. If I don't get this right, it's going to be a flat ending to the quiz. Yeah. I've ruined the show. Okay.
So, okay. A similar sort of question. Which is more prevalent? People who don't like pantomimes or people who would like a urinal in their house?
People who would like?
Yes.
Oh, the trouble is it's a... You've got him because you've done a don't like and a do like.
It's the negative. It's the single negative.
It's brilliant. This is perfect. I can see his...
It's your complete...
Skin on his cheeks have even gone a different colour to the skin on his chin.
I'm developing central...
Regulation has gone all wrong.
My internal body temperature system is the first thing to go.
He's sending energy to all the wrong places in hope to find a solution.
My body thinks that by making me look Christmassy, it'll help. It's making my cheeks come out all red. Go to full festive mode.
The answer lies in the Yule.
So you've got
doesn't like.
You've got people who don't like pantomimes.
Don't like. And, that's a single negative.
And people
isn't it?
Who would like.
But are there more of them than the more. The less
the number of people who wouldn't like a urinal? So there's more of.
So you want me to compare a negative with a positive and see which is bigger?
But a volume of a negative. A higher volume of a negative.
So what you're asking me, if the negative and the positive made an indentation in, say, sand, which would be the biggest indentation?
And the tide is coming in.
And there's thousands of crabs on the beach. It's breeding season.
And those really freaky jumping snakes.
Yeah. Oh, no, I hate those. Oh, God. And they're all being attracted by my hot cheeks. They're all coming to my hot cheeks. That's why there's a phrase like crabs to a hot cheek. So, are there more people that don't like... I couldn't remember what the thing was.
Don't like pantomimes.
Don't like panto.
Is one selection.
Yeah.
Would like a urinal in their house.
Would like a urinal. Which is the bigger group? Would like a urinal. It's got to be don't like panto.
Okay, so the number of people who would like a urinal in their house is 8%.
Yeah.
And I would say they are a noble 8%.
Yeah.
Because there's got to be a shy would like a urinal in their house group, right?
Yeah. Well,
you don't talk about it.
It might be under-polling, you mean?
I think that's under-polling, yeah.
It's a classic one, which is you wait till you're in the voting booth, don't you? You don't tell people about it, but
and
once you're in...
still... It's just not on the form.
It's not on the form.
We all had it. Do we go for Sunak, Starmer, having it while in your house? And it just wasn't there. And I voted Starmer. Yeah. And now we're paying for it.
Well, a piss-filled object.
Hello.
Hello.
That's no good for anything other than processing toxic juices. Frankly, I've forgotten which way around it goes.
There we go. It is late. It is late in the quiz show to try and switcheroo this late on in the quiz show.
I can't even do a straighteroo right now.
Okay, so then 8% of people would like you in the house. The number of people who don't like pantomimes, and this is quite a scary stat for the theatre industry as a whole, is 42%. So you're correct.
Wow. Thank you. Yeah. But I think, you know, that's...
But it doesn't matter.
But that's...
Most people that go to a pantomime don't like pantomimes.
No, that's a good point, Mike. Yeah.
No, but also... I think that's one of those things where people, it's like they hold their noses and is that that's another booth thing of like people like to pretend that they don't like pantos and they turn up, they laugh their asses off.
Yeah. And try and grab those sweets out of the air.
And because I think musicals is the same. People love saying they don't like musicals. If you've got a fucking pulse, you love Guys and Dolls. Sorry, facts.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm one of those people.
I know, but I don't believe you, Mike. Everyone loves musicals.
If we took you to Guys and Dolls, Mike, which we should,
you'd have somehow been in a zoot suit by the second half. You'd have ordered it online and you'd have fucking got it Amazon to the theater.
I'm there every Wednesday afternoon.
And you just somehow got someone to install a urinal in your house at the same time. You'd be singing
Have you ever been to someone's house where there's a urinal there?
No, I'm aware of one person that has one. And
is it Mike Bubbins? And that's him just taking a random guess.
It's Adrian Childs.
Adrian Childs?
Yeah, he's installed a urinal.
I did. I went for Mike Bubbins because, I think, did he have a pub in his house?
He's got a pub in his house, yeah.
I feel like it's somehow...
I know what you mean.
I think a pub, because a pub would have a urinal, yeah. So I don't know if that would... So Adrian Childs has got a urinal in his house.
I wouldn't like a urinal in my house.
If you had a urinal in your house, would you just have one birth, or two, or three?
I wouldn't give birth into your urinal.
You wouldn't.
You can't have two. It's got to be one or three.
Imagine going around to Adrian Charles' house for dinner.
If you're going with a friend,
you need a buffer.
Then you want the buffer zone.
Imagine going to Adrian Charles' house for dinner, and then you go for a piss, and then who comes in? Adrian Charles. And you're next to each other having a piss.
But he's only got one urinal, so you're both pissing into the same urinal.
Yeah. The dinner party's gone well.
We don't know. Is it an individual one or the trough style?
Could be a big trough. Yeah, yeah, good
point. Can I tell you just a quick thing, which is what I call the urinal greetings paradox?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, if you're with...
Can I just say, by the way, before you carry on with the urinal greetings paradox, there was no sense of celebration that you'd won this whole thing.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Woo.
Just for the listener, Henry's manipulating a wine opener, sort of bottle opener, like to make it look like it's
No, I'm really, really delighted to have won.
I think you need to be more delighted to make this whole thing make sense.
Yeah, why don't you stick in a £5,000 cash prize, though? Yeah, if you want people to give a shit.
Yeah, where's the fucking dishwasher,
mate? Where's the dishwasher, mate? Where's the white goods? Okay. I've got a toaster that literally doesn't stop toasting. Well, can you send me a toaster that does? Because it's a fucking fire hazard.
Okay, Henry, it's going to be a surprise, but tomorrow morning you'll wake up and there'll be a urinal in your kitchen.
And Adrian Charles pissing in it.
Oh, God.
You're going to drink the water out of that?
Boiling hot urinal. Sorry, what's the greetings paradox?
So the urinal greetings paradox is, if you go to a pub with some friends, and at a point in the evening you go to the urinal for a piss, and then one of your friends comes in, I would say there are two ways you can respond to that, and neither of them makes sense.
Yeah.
One is you go, all right, hello. You say hello to them again, even though you're with them anyway.
Yeah, that is weird.
But there's this weird thing where you say hello again. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Or, which is weird and awkward, or you ignore them, which also feels weird and awkward.
Yeah.
So there's no correct solution to what to do.
So we have entered and we have now exited Bondi's House of Pain. How do you feel?
What a relief.
Hugely relieved to have got out in one piece. I think I've got the double crown now of Wozniak.
Ooh.
Which feels...
I can't remember who won last time.
I've got a feeling I did. That might be wrong. But either way, it hasn't been deserved either time, so...
Well, remember last time, your thing was that you felt that actually the situation was you and Mike versus me, despite the fact I was a quizmaster, so...
That's true. That's true. It felt more like I was versus Henry today. So I've been double vanquished.
Mm. Well, I don't know.
Okay.
Possibly. But either way, it's been... It's been a real privilege to lock brains with you.
And I'll say again, because I did steal all that from a book, so I need to give them the props.
Yeah, good old Misc. Yeah, great source material.
It's called Misc.
Get Misc.
Yeah.
If you look it up online, it's called Misc. It's by Rob Orchard, Christian Tate, and Marcus Webb. I reckon it's a good gift.
Yeah, it sounds great. Yeah.
So thanks for listening, and we'll be back with Main Pod soon. Isn't it?
Certainly in December, yeah.
In December, we'll be back, which is...
We'll be soon.
Bye, everyone.
Ta-ra.
Bye.